Well, we feel really good that we're one step closer to achieving one of the primary goals that the families had when they brought this litigation, which was to prevent Alex Jones from ever inflicting the kind of harm at scale that he had inflicted upon them.
We look forward to infesting your social media feeds with caricatures and grotesqueries of the very people who have ruined our media ecosystem over the last 10 years.
I am going to make a big announcement right now, and that might affect our relationship, Ben. I am pledging myself to Satan and to the Prince of Darkness.
Oh, I read about this last night on a website.
After a decade of trying to shut us down and spending hundreds of millions of dollars to do it, believe they will be successful shutting us down Thursday night at midnight. But we're starting the Alex Jones Network. And the coordinates of the next phase of the InfoWar is alexjoneslive.com. So if you want to stand against the tyrants and against the censors and against the globalists and against their goal to shut us down, share that URL in your whole email list, your text message list, all over X, Facebook, TikTok, everywhere else. The coordinates of the next level, the next phase, the chapter in the fight against the tyrants is alexjoneslive.com. And go to alexjonesapp.com and download on Android or on Apple free the app for the new Alex Jones Live show that has audio and video feeds, the articles, special reports, and more. The tyrants are counting on you to not take this serious. They're counting on you to not take action. So take action now at alexjoneslive.com and alexjonesapp.com. The ball is in your court. Roll over and submit to tyranny or stand up and fight 1776 2.0. You're unstoppable. But I know this. The answer to 1984 is 1776. And if they were looking for a fight, they better believe they got one. This is an emergency transmission from deep in the heart of Texas. The U.S. resistance against a global corporate combine empowered and funded by Communist China, allied with the big mega banks that set up Communist China in 1949. The Communist Chinese have taken control of U.S. telecommunications infrastructure. The Communist Chinese have taken control of Hollywood. The Communist Chinese have taken control of the main universities. This is all confirmed. This is not a drill. Big tech in Silicon Valley is almost completely run by the Communist Chinese government. They've officially become state-run. Apple, 100%. Google is now making the transition and announcing a merger and total worldwide censorship. They are now beta testing using me as the straw man, a demonized version of Alex Jones, to do that. This is happening. This is not like the other probes before that were meant to get you used to probes and censorship, thinking you would adapt to censorship by just putting up with it. Now this attack is thousands and thousands and thousands of times the magnitude of all previous attacks. This is a titrated dose, reverse psychological warfare operation using adapt and overcome, subversion, paradigm manipulation. In layman's terms, they are manipulating the fact that we adapt to being oppressed. We adapt to being pressed at the low dosages of oppression. Now when the megaton hits us of the total takeover, we try to adapt to the poison infusion instead of not knowing it's a lethal dose if we accept the dose. Total Internet of Things, integration, global social score, complete command and control system. It is the virtual reality AI weapon system now attacking the United States with traitors inside the major security agencies, blocking Trump's resistance of the program and attempting to stop us from removing the tentacles of the Chi-Com slash big tech banking combine emergency situation. I have been chosen for destruction because I brought you this information and have been battering, ramming it out as much as I can. They want to double use me as they always do in any complex system of mathematical deception, where every angle of my good is turned against us. So they take what I've said, being sincere, build me into an insincere person in the straw man. I'm a person that cares about life and children and is against these wars. And so they make me a herder of children. And then they build me into this lie to then set the distraction while they're actually censoring all of you to make a debate about Alex Jones. So even if I didn't sell out to them, they now use me as an archetype to serve them by being the main distraction. I have now been captured by the enemy in the information warfare fulcrum and is being used against you. Only your full understanding of this key will break you free from this paradigm. I have given you the transmission. Now break free.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man. Thomas Jefferson. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'll start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is rocket fuel. This is incredible. This is rocket fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay. Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network headquarters here in Austin, Texas. It is Thursday, the 21st of May, 2026, and I got a lot of news for you today. Some major updates on the Iran war. A new agreement has apparently been inked. We'll get you all the latest about that. Some breaking news. We'll cover that in just a second. Also, some pretty major moves by the DOJ today against fraud in Minnesota and elsewhere. We'll show you some very good videos from that. Just a lot of big news. Taking your calls in the third hour as well. This is the latest with the war in Iran. Zero Hedge has the story. Tense Trump Netanyahu call as U.S. presses Iran to sign the document, but Israel wants military green light. According to Axios, Trump continues to say he thinks a deal can be reached, but that he's ready to resume the war if it isn't. U.S. Marines boarded an Iranian-flagged tanker in the Gulf of Oman as it was accused of attempting to violate the U.S. naval blockade. Iran's parliament speaker and chief negotiator Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf says that Tehran sees signs that the United States is seeking to restart the war. Oil prices have tumbled after Pakistan again touts final deal draft text imminent, followed by Trump claiming the U.S. is in the final stages of peace talks with Iran, though Tehran hasn't budged on the nuclear issue. Iran's IRGC Navy says 26 vessels, including oil tankers, container ships, and other commercial vessels, transited in the prior 24 hours in cooperation with Iranian authorities. And we're also learning more about the damage that was done by Iran to American resources in the region. And it was a lot worse than they admitted, just like we told you it was. U.S. and Iran reach a draft agreement with the mediation of Pakistan. That, according to Iran's ILNA news agency, they post on their Telegram channel that U.S. and Iran reached an agreement on a draft mediated by Pakistan. They say it's expected to be announced in the next few hours. The draft includes immediate and comprehensive ceasefire on all fronts. The parties mutually undertake to refrain from targeting infrastructure. Freedom of navigation in the Persian Gulf and the Strait of Hormuz is guaranteed under a joint monitoring mechanism. Sanctions will be gradually lifted in exchange for Iran's compliance with the terms of the deal. Negotiations on outstanding issues shall begin within a maximum of 7 days. Now this is getting more coverage. The risk sentiment improved with stocks rising, oil falling, USD and Treasury yields sliding. A private consultant on X at Basha Reports posted the original version published on Al Arabiya TV. The key provisions include that immediate, comprehensive, unconditional ceasefire, mutual, so we just read those, guaranteed freedom of navigation in the Gulf, gradual lifting of U.S. sanctions in exchange for Iran's adherence to the terms, affirmation of compliance with international law and the U.N. Charter. The agreement is stated to enter force immediately upon formal announcement by both parties. So that is supposedly on the table. This is not, as I understand it, been announced or confirmed by official state media in Iran or here in America, but this is the story being spread. Draft of U.S.-Iran agreement reportedly reached, but Trump still pressing nuclear issue. Iran president says they won't back down. So it appears as though the nuclear issue is still a bit of a sticking point. one might say. And, of course, the new leader of Iran came out today and basically said they will never be giving up the uranium that they've enriched, and that that part of the agreement is simply off the table. U.S.-Iran diplomacy intensifies as Trump seeks right answers. Tehran signals gap reduced. So, you know, this would be a good thing. It'd be a good thing for the war to end. It would be a good thing to end the hostilities and get back to a world that can feed itself and make money and isn't on the precipice of all-out global warfare with Pakistan and Israel and Russia and China and America and possibly Iran all aiming nukes at each other. We could get back to, hey, maybe not the time before the war, but like a time slightly worse than we were before the war, because in this agreement, Iran will still have sort of veto power of the Strait of Hormuz. They're keeping their nuclear material. Really, they're getting everything they want because they have, for all intents and purposes, already won this war and did a long time ago. So if this is actually announced and this actually comes to fruition, and we actually are at a permanent end of the Iran war, then maybe it'd be a good time to go back to those shows that we did in the first few days of the Iranian war, where we predicted this exact outcome, pretty much like 100% exactly what we thought was going to happen. And I remember saying probably 4 or 5 days in, maybe a little bit longer, but I made a point of saying, this is it. This is the time when we could throw up our hands and say, whoops, we tried, it didn't work, never mind, let's have peace again. And I guarantee you, if we had done that back then, we'd be in a better position than we are now. But we've been waging a senseless on and off war for the last 3 months at this point and achieved absolutely nothing, absolutely less than nothing. We've lost the Strait and empowered the radicals in Iran and done nothing else. So the only real outstanding question is, will Israel allow this? Will they allow it? They have a couple veto options, right? Obviously, the influence they have over the Trump administration still can be wielded. Trump is out here saying, oh, Netanyahu will do whatever I say. It's like, okay, sure. Did he let you say that? It's that type of thing where Trump goes, whatever I say, Benjamin Netanyahu will just have to be okay with. It's like, sir, did you get permission to say that? Did Netanyahu say, Trump, they want to think you're in charge. Go out and tell them that you tell me what to do, okay? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, I will. It's a little bit pathetic because we just know absolutely and, you know, without question that Trump does absolutely everything Israel does and Israel wants him to and is routinely really humiliated by Israel when he makes very strident statements about no settlements in the West Bank, no bombing Lebanon, you know, a lot of these types of forceful statements that go completely ignored. And Israel just does the exact opposite. And then Trump claims it was his idea, actually, for that to happen. So really just more pathetic lying from Trump. It's very sad. It's a very sad thing to see, but I think we're used to it by now. We're practically used to it. So will Israel allow it? They could just start bombing Lebanon again. That would break the ceasefire. They could bring the blackmail or whatever they have against Trump to bear. There's still lots of ways that Israel could mess this up. And to me, nothing has changed in the actual equation, right? Israel is still on the, you know, cusp of losing everything because of how unpopular they are. As in, it's a matter of time. There's not going to be much, if anything, they could do in the next 10 years to stop the tidal wave of anti-Israel sentiment in the younger generation. So they'll be cut off from American aid within the next decade. They've gambled everything on this. They're basically annexing large portions of Gaza in, once again, flagrant disregard to the promises that they made in the ceasefire agreements and the just endless lies from their, you know, state propaganda about how this was never their intention and they never wanted to do this. They're not even really claiming that anymore. They're just outright admitting that it's all just cynical material seizing of land for their own people. It's nothing higher order about it. No you know, deeper motive pushing them, just pure cynical mercenary theft of land. So will they allow this to happen? I don't know. I really don't know, because, you know, what's going to happen if that's the case? Iran's going to start to rebuild. They're going to be able to rebuild. I mean, they already are rebuilding their missile program, what was destroyed, even though we're not even really sure too much of it was destroyed with the latest information that we're getting. So Iran's going to rebuild everything that has been destroyed. Obviously, now it's going to be on an even more aggressive war footing. They've shown they have the ability to shut down the strait at any point, so that'll always be a bullet in their chamber, a card in their hand that they can play at any point. If this ends with Iran getting what they want, retaining the uranium, not really, you know, giving up anything in terms of control over any land or the strait or anything like that, it's just a matter of time. I guess it's just a matter of time, because all that's going to happen is Iran is going to rebuild, Israel is going to rebuild, and we're going to gear up for the next round. Only this time, Iran will, you know, hopefully have a little bit more of that, you know, a little bit more power to, you know, stop them from being bombed relentlessly and just let them know. You know, it's really what's said. This is just an extended period that we've taken, whatever, 80 days, 90 days to get here. But it could all be summed up in about a 30-second video of the big bully poking the little kid until the little kid finally just grabs the bully's ankle and drops him on his back and body slams him. That's basically where we're at, is for several decades, really, but certainly the last several years, Israel's been sort of poking Iran, jabbing Iran, bombing their diplomats, bombing their graduation ceremonies, overthrowing their allies in the region, and finally Iran just went, okay, we're hitting back now, slapped him across the face, and now we're at that standoff where Israel's going, oh, crap, they fought back for the first time, and that hurt. That actually hurt a little bit, and I'm not sure we want to do that again, but if we stop fighting now, they might actually only get more powerful. What do we do here? So yeah, just if you just slowed this video down to where it took 90 days to watch, that's essentially the metaphor. That's where we're at. And so, you know, the bully's kind of been given a bloody nose, and it's, I don't know, it's sort of a dangerous position to be in, because I genuinely do not think that Israel can like survive not being at war over this stuff. I mean, what's going to happen? Netanyahu's going to have to go to trial. They're going to have to like duke it out in Lebanon, but are they even going to be able to without getting the outrage of America? And again, we really should just keep it on hand. We should really keep on like the show right after October 7th, 2023, and then right after whatever it was, March 1st, 2026. Because in the day after, I was doing shows going, here's what happens. Here's the set of dominoes that is set up here, arrayed for all of us to see. Let's watch as they fall down. And that's just what we've done. So even on October 9th, 2023, it was obvious that what started on October 7th would cascade into a wider regional war that would culminate with Israel trying to take out Iran, that they would not be able to take out Iran without American boots on the ground, and that Trump would not be able to politically survive putting American boots on the ground. And here we are. And here we are 3 years later almost, and it has all come to fruition. We could have avoided it all by listening to the anti-Semites. If only the anti-Semites had been listened to, we were, in fact, the voice of reason. The voice of reason. The only voice of reason. Everybody else out there was telling you it was anti-Semitic to say, hey, Israel, idiot, what you're doing is a suicide mission. You're making yourselves incredibly unpopular. You're not even achieving military goals. And at the end of this, you're going to have to rely on American boots on the ground. And we're all watching you shred babies every day. And we're not going to put boots on the ground for you. You're screwing yourselves over. And we got told they have a right to defend themselves. But they're the chosen people. But you're not allowed to say that. It's anti-Semitic. And it's like, all right, fine. Have fun. How you doing now? How you feeling now about those decisions? I'm fine with it, honestly. I now finally, for once in my life, people feel about Israel like I always have. It's actually wonderful to see. It's actually a total breath of fresh air. I don't know if y'all remember, but it was still like 2024, like midway through 2024, I was still getting in arguments with people on the right. Trump supporters were still holding on to this idea of like, but they're our greatest ally and they're like a democracy in the Middle East. And I kind of had to go, well, I mean, you know, I think you should look into it a little bit more, actually. And finally, now everybody's on our side. Everybody gets it, except for the liars who also get it, but are in favor of what's going on. Here's the story that, again, it's just, you know, does anybody believe, is anybody buying this? Trump says Netanyahu, quote, will do whatever I want on Iran, and he's in no hurry to make a deal. Iran is looking over the latest U.S. peace proposal, state media said. Iran says it's reviewing the latest proposal sent by the United States aimed at ending the war, with Pakistani Army Chief Field Marshal Asim Munir expected in Tehran on Thursday. Hardline Iranian general emerges as major player in peace talks with the U.S. as negotiations with the U.S. hang in the balance. A hardline Iranian general linked to notorious attacks at home and abroad over the past decades is believed to have seized a place of power, a place near the center of power. Is Brigadier General Ahmed Vahidi, who heads Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard, has become a major player in formulating Iran's tough stance in negotiating a possible end to the war with Iran's with the United States, experts say. He's believed to be a part of a small clique in direct contact with Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Mojtaba Khamenei, who remains in hiding after reportedly being wounded in the February 28th Israeli strikes that killed his father. You know, the more moderate, elderly Ayatollah who had a fatwa on nuclear weapons. Remember, they killed him, put his more radical son in charge. Now the head of the IRGC apparently is assumed a position of even greater importance, and these would all be in the losing column of, you know, victories or losses that we've experienced during the Iran war, unless we intended to make Iran even more of a terrorist state, which, hey, that, you know, it works out either way for Israel, to be honest with you. If you can get a, you know, radical Muslim, you know, violent person to replace Khamenei, get somebody who's less reserved, less tactful, less strategic, yeah, maybe that would be good for Israel, because you want an insane, you know, group of unreasonable people, because you want endless war, because that's how you survive. That's just the way that your country is, unfortunately. But it is. So I got a couple videos about this. I'm not sure if we have the Tucker Carlson clip number 25. Tucker Carlson went on Israeli TV and basically humiliated the guy. And it's a total masterclass of just straightforward facts defeating the propaganda. It's really amazing stuff, and they get into all of these topics, including the brutal nature of the Israeli regime and the absurdity of Israel claiming that anywhere else is unlawful or, you know, full of terrorists. Let's go to Tucker Carlson now.
Do you generally believe Israel would try to harm you because of your opinion?
Of course, I don't know. I hope not. I don't want to be harmed.
So Israel is the most violent state in the world, even more than Iran? Are you serious?
No country has boasted more about killing its political opponents than Israel, of course, about its assassination programs. The prime minister of Israel gave a golden pager to the president of the United States. I was there. And that golden pager represented the pagers that Hezbollah leaders were killed by. Sure. Yes, Israel brags about assassinating people. And of course, it does assassinate people. Many countries assassinate people, but Israel makes a public relations campaign out of boasting about killing its opponents. Killing innocents is never acceptable, period, under any circumstances by any person or any nation. It's immoral. It's the thing that separates the civilized from the barbarous. It is never allowable, period, for any person to kill an innocent. You can't kill a child. The child did nothing wrong. And civilized people understand that. That's what civilized people are. That's the definition of a civilized country.
But it seems like when you speak about Israel as the most violent state in the world, you forget to mention that it is the most attacked state in the world from so many enemies, you know, like any other country in the world. So if you don't put this equation together, it seems like we are doing it for fun or that we lost our morality. This is self-defense.
Well, Israel has definitely lost its morality. There's no question about that, of course. The reason that I have cause to comment on this and to say that it's wrong is that I'm paying for it. There's no reason the United States should be sending any money at all to Israel, and particularly not to its military.
Even if
Israel
price,
has neighbors that...
Even if the price will be the annihilation of Israel? This is not your problem.
I just don't understand why the United States has an obligation to pay for any of this, to send the weapons for it, to lend its moral authority to Israel, to lend its diplomatic cover to Israel, to lend its air force and its navy and its military to Israel. I don't understand, where does this obligation come from? And no one will answer that question. And instead they say, well, you're an anti-Semite. Well, I'm not an anti-Semite.
All right.
And that's not an answer. What is the answer? And I've never received one. And I know now, because of this war, that America's relationship with Israel, while it may be based on good intentions, is hurting the United States very badly, very badly. We can't afford it. And our standing in the world has declined, and we're implicated in some of the many crimes Israel has committed. I don't think the United States owes Israel anything. I don't think the United States should give Israel anything. I think we should stop all aid to Israel, all special deals for Israel. Tomorrow.
You accuse Netanyahu of dragging Trump into an unnecessary war with Iran. So let's think about what it actually means. Do you really think that a foreign leader can pull the president of the United States into a war he didn't want?
Well, I don't think that that could happen. I saw it happen. I was there. And so that happened. So the question is why? I blame Donald Trump for folding under the pressure from Benjamin Netanyahu and his many allies in the United States. Donors to Donald Trump, people in the media class here, were effectively working on behalf of the Israeli government, and Donald Trump, whose decision it was, caved under that pressure.
If the United States would cave in to Iran terror regime that controls now also the Hormuz pathway and the terror ring that it created in the Middle East, maybe it would be even worse for any citizens in the world, not only in Israel, but also in the United States. And this is exactly what Donald Trump said. So you don't believe Donald Trump?
I don't believe Donald Trump. And I also think, as an Israeli, you should pause before using the phrase terror regime, since you live in a country that just murdered thousands of children in Gaza. It's a little hard to hear that from an Israeli right now, I have to say.
You're targeting only Israel, and by that...
Well, of course, I'm not targeting anybody. Okay. I don't have a military. I'm a podcaster, so I don't target people. What I'm saying is true, which is Iran's behavior, the government of Iran's behavior, is in some cases disgusting to me and immoral. But the behavior of the Israeli government in Gaza is disgusting and immoral. And of course, Israel's not a democracy in any sense. There are millions of people who live under Israeli control who cannot vote, right? And so if the West Bank, Judea and Samaria and Gaza, or whatever we're calling these places, which Israel has controlled since 1967, have people living in them who have no control over the government that controls their lives, which is true, it's not a democracy. So let's just drop the talking points. I don't think killing children is self-defense. It never will be. Mm-hmm. And no amount of recounting the legitimate atrocities of October 7th will ever get me to accept this behavior. And Israel doesn't like to acknowledge the existence of universal principles mm-hmm. that apply to everyone equally, even and you.
I love that approach that Tucker Carlson's taking, because obviously the approach now from the Israeli side is to say, we represent Western civilization. It's us, the Judeo-Christian Western civilization, against the leftist and the Muslims. But as Tucker points out, there is no Western civilization that's okay with killing children. That's not a part of Western civilization. That's an abject betrayal of Western civilization. You're not on our side. We know it.
I'm so excited about the Alex Jones Network. I'm so excited to expand it. The bad guys are in trouble. Hell, we might even get InfoWars back, but who knows? But I couldn't have stood against this tyranny and fought them without your support. But a lot of people, not the majority, but 20-30%, believe the propaganda of the national news that we're off the air. And friends, family, neighbors, people at the gas station, Alex, I'm so sorry you're off the air. I'm so sorry, you know, the Onion runs your company. They didn't get it a year and a half ago with the fake auction. They didn't get it this time. They're blocked in court. They're in a lot of trouble, okay? We're winning, but I need funds for the defense and the offense and for the network and for everything we're doing. And I need your word of mouth to tell your email list, your text message list, your neighbors, your friends, your family. Hey, Alex Jones is verboten forbidden info. He knows what he's talking about.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Here is the URL, alexjoneslive.com. He's on weekdays, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Harrison Smith after that. We're going to bring more shows on, but we need your support. your word of mouth, your prayer. You are everything, and your financial support at alexjonesstore.com. So listen to me. We have ultramethylene blue tincture capsules and now the gummies that are a concentrate of already the strongest best methylene blue. So look out when you get them. But they're selling out, more coming in a month or so. We have plenty of the tincture and the capsules, but not the gummies. If you want them, there's probably 3 or 4 days left of them. Get them now at thealexjonesstore.com. Separately, I can do hours on this. Just go to Wikipedia even. Go to the UN website. Even our enemies admit it. There's an average 15 IQ point reduction in the West because of lack of iodine in the soil and in our foods. Iodine is so good for women, children, adults, pregnant women, but especially older people. But most iodine is a bound iodine to another element. Atomic means on the periodic table, it is pure. We're the only people that put out the pure iodine. And we have it, T3 Trifecta Iodine, at thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours now. I got my iced tea right here. I take it about every 2 days. I'm going to take a dropper full of this bad boy. And this is so good for your brain, your clarity, your cells. It's essential. If you don't get iodine, you die. Again, you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you're dead. Don't have water for 4 days, you're dead. Don't have food for a month or so, most person dies. You know, unless you're super fat and you live 2 months or whatever. The point is, that's because you're not getting all the essential nutrients and vitamins. Iodine is one of the essential things. Look it up. And the number one cause of cognitive disability, officially, even the World Health Organization, is iodine deficiency. So get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason this network continues on and can expand. You're funding folks that fight for your future and our own futures together, trying to stop a new war, trying to stop new pandemics, trying to stop the left, trying to take back civilization. It takes funds to do that. So we sell great products. So it's a 360 win. The only way we fail is you don't take action. Take action now, thealexjonesstore.com.
Today we celebrate the first glorious anniversary of the Information Purification Directive.
Order is the only path to stability.
Compliance is the only path forward.
Alex Jones is a fringe voice and a crackpot. Our unification of thought is more powerful a weapon than any fleet or army on Earth.
We have created, for the first time in all history, a garden of pure ideology. War is peace.
On May 1st, 2026, Alex Jones will launch his new network. And you will see that the answer to 1984 is still and will always be 1776.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to War Room Live. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live from the Alex Jones Network studios. I did it, folks. I swapped my wallet. I got one of the new wallets. It's got all my cards in it. Significantly thinner than my old wallet. I just love how, this thing is literally the size of a credit card. That's what you don't realize until you put it in. Most wallets are significantly bigger than your credit card, but these things just fit incredibly snugly in. This is the new Freedom Shield RFID wallet. So, of course, it blocks RFID signal, so people can't just walk right by you and scan your card and get your number. So there is the security element, but even beyond that, the look of it, the beauty of this thing, the way it's made, it's got leather and aircraft quality aluminum, actually. It's a new Freedom Shield RFID wallet with built-in top-grain leather and aerospace-grade aluminum, slim, tough, secure, and made for everyday carry. There's two patriotic designs, Don't Tread on Me and 1776. I went with the 1776 one, personally. Love that design. Every time you pull this wallet out, you're making a statement, and it's fully loaded. The Freedom Shield RFID wallet can hold up to 25 cards and 20 bills. I have probably, 12 cards in here, something like that, and it's still extremely thin, and that's really because it's all it is. And you just pull the tab and the cards come right up, easy to get, and then goes right back in. It really is a well-made, beautiful wallet. It would be an absolutely fantastic present for the, perhaps the graduate in your life. People are graduating, and if you're wondering what to get, you know, the young adult in your life, a solid, well-made, well-crafted RFID-proof wallet, I think is the way to go. Get it with the 1776 or the Don't Tread on Me style, and they will love it. They absolutely will. You can get it right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com, and I believe it's, let me get the actual price, because I know it's on discount since we're just introducing it, but I also know there's only a few thousand of these available, so these will sell out very quickly. If you want yours, get it now. It's only $49.99. These things regularly sell for upwards of $70. VIP members can get it for only $39.20. These patriotic designs are moving fast, so do not wait. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get your Freedom Shield RFID wallet before they sell out, and sell out they will. But again, they really, I mean, it's sort of rare that you get a product that looks as good in life as it does in the promo shots, but these are really, really good looking products. And they even come with, I even like the packaging that they come in. It's real, like, stylish, packaging, sort of similar to our knives. But like I said, if you want to buy this as a gift, you almost don't even have to wrap it. The packaging is so high quality, it serves as a as gift wrapping almost itself. Anyway, thealexjonesstore.com. Get yours today and be like me. You can be just like me and have the same wallet as me. We're going to get back into Israel in just a little bit because we have some news about the flotilla. There was a aid flotilla. We showed the video yesterday of Ben-Gvir, the defense minister, somebody high up in the Israeli government, abusing these flotilla members. The flotilla people who were arrested, by the way, they're arrested in international water. They're basically just kidnapped and brutalized and tortured by the Israelis for a little while. They've since been released. At least some of them have been released. They've shown up in Istanbul, Turkey, with bruises all over their body. And I think the important thing, one of the important things to understand about this, there's the image of just one of them. Again, just obvious torture marks. You know, not only did these people do absolutely nothing wrong, their entire purpose of being there was to try to bring food to starving people. That's the crime they committed. But it's also worth mentioning, most of the people on these flotillas were like Italian. They're Europeans. So it's just, it's the absolute proof of what we've been saying for a long time. Yeah, Jamie Mitchell says they got off easy. So, like, this is one of those things that I want to show to, like, boomers, to, like, the pro-Israel people who think, who are still in the delusion that this has something to do with Arabs or Muslims. No, these are European people. These are Italians. These are Europeans, Christians. And if they try to bring food to starving people, like, you know, their religion demands of them, the Israelis think they get off lucky if they only get tortured and not, I don't know, like raped to death like the other prisoners. So this whole idea of like, why are you on the side of the Arabs? Why are you on the side of the Muslims? It's like, no, I'm on the side of humanity. I'm on the side of the human beings. And it's us versus Israel. And it's human beings of every race, color, and creed versus Israel. And Israel thinks about you and me in the same way it thinks about the Palestinians. That's it. And they'd gleefully torture you to death if they could. They just don't think they can get away with it quite yet. But they're working there. They're making their way. They're slowly but surely expanding the scope of their operations around the world. So we'll get back into that. Didn't mean to talk about that so much right there because I'll bring you all the videos and, you know, show you the context and everything, as well as a reaction from some European countries that are not so happy with their citizens being kidnapped and tortured by Israel in international waters. It's actually kind of an egregious overreach and worthy of war, in my opinion. But let's talk about some good. Hey, here's a shocking thing. Some good news. 15 charged in Medicaid schemes that potentially netted a whopping $90 million, with one suspect on the lam after leaping off a balcony, a four-story balcony, apparently. Trump administration officials announced criminal charges Thursday against 15 fraudsters accused of bilking taxpayers out of $90 million courtesy of Minnesota's state-run Medicaid program, including what prosecutors called the largest autism fraud scheme ever. The busts also involved the highest loss amount ever charged in a Medicaid case. Assistant Attorney General for the National Fraud Enforcement Division, Colin McDonald, told reporters in Minneapolis, noting that the sum total stolen would likely top $9 billion. And they've made a bunch of announcements about this. They're obviously touting this success, and it's great. It's great to see. It's great to see actual movement on some of these topics. And it's even better hearing the Trump administration officials talk about it, because they clearly understand what's actually going on here. So let's go first to clip number 11. This is the announcement about the federal grand juries indicting those 15 Minnesota fraudsters. Let's watch.
Today, we are announcing criminal charges against 15 defendants in Minnesota for fraud schemes that targeted over $90 million in taxpayer dollars. Let me be clear up front about something. This is not the end of our work in Minnesota. This is not the end of the beginning of our work in Minnesota. This is the beginning of our work in Minnesota. The fraud here in Minnesota is shocking. Our cases today involve seven different state-managed Medicaid programs that have been systematically pilfered by fraudsters who treated Minnesota-run programs as their personal piggy bank.
So that's this McDonald guy who is leading this charge. Here he is, clip number 8, talking about just some of the details of just one of these fraud schemes and just how, I mean, really, you hear this, you think these fraudsters probably should have been charged with murder because that's actually how bad it got. Let's watch.
For example, one defendant is charged with defrauding the Integrated Community Supports Medicaid program. This program is designed to help individuals with disabilities live independently. One patient was supposed to be receiving 24-hour care through this program, but he was actually being serviced by a fraudster and received no services. This patient was later found dead. Meanwhile, the architect of this fraud scheme was billing Medicaid as if he was providing care to this patient. The defendant even submitted a claim of over $400 for services he never provided the day before this man died. In another example, two defendants have been charged for defrauding a program designed to offer medical services to those with autism spectrum disorder. As alleged, the defendants paid kickbacks to parents who brought their children to autism centers, diagnosed children with autism regardless of medical necessity, and billed for autism services that were never actually provided. In one final example, two defendants have been charged in an over $22 million fraud scheme involving the Individualized Home Supports Program. This program was meant to support disabled individuals who wanted to live in their own homes. Instead, these disabled individuals were used like lottery tickets by these defendants to generate millions of dollars, which these defendants used to expand their real estate holdings, purchase luxury vehicles, and splurge on expensive jewelry. We will not, full stop, tolerate this greed and deceit. We will not let fraudsters bankrupt Medicare and Medicaid the same way that they bankrupted the Housing Stabilization Services Program. As mentioned, this is just the beginning.
So is it any wonder that we're bankrupt, that we're exploding in debt? Story from today, U.S. national debt officially hits $39 trillion. We've added $5 billion a day since October, which sounds like a lot. You might think $5 billion a day sounds like a lot, especially when you consider what you could afford for $5 billion. Tell you what, if the crew can, go into Grok and just search, what could I buy for $5 billion? What could I afford? What could the American people, like, I like to, how many brand new state-of-the-art high schools could we build for $5 billion a day, every single day? I think the top line, best of the best, state-of-the-art high school for like 4,000 students with the media labs and the science labs and everything you could possibly want would run you about $300 million, if I'm not mistaken. But that sounds even, I think maybe $50 million might be more like it. Multiple mega mansions. I mean, the thing is, it's so much money, they like don't even know how to calculate it. They're like, you could just get every private island that's for sale if you want. Like, it's at a certain point where you're just like, I don't know, you just would have to buy companies, like invest in, I don't know, an NFL team. Super yachts, a tier one yacht, like a 100 million plus vessel could cost 200 to 500 million. Multiple Gulfstreams, 100 of hypercars. Yeah, this is what a person would buy. Like, if I was a government, like how many schools? That's what I want to know. How many hospitals or high schools could we build with $5 billion? Because obviously we're spending this $5 billion. The question is, what the hell are we getting for it? What are we getting for it? Now, people don't know this. They, you know, people on the left especially like to portray it as if all of our money goes towards the military, which a good chunk of it does. I mean, $5 billion a day sounds like a lot till you consider that's less than a month of the Iran war, right? We spent $100 billion in the first month, about. So, you know, just slightly higher than average, I guess, spending in that time period. Or if you're talking about $90 billion of fraud, you know, it's not actually that much at the end of the day. Or maybe $90 billion is just an insane amount. So they, okay, elementary schools cost about $50 million. Middle schools can cost up to $90 million. High schools. So let's just say just full, you know, best of the best, $100 million. 90 to 140 elementary schools, 55 to 90 middle schools, 25 to 50 high schools. So just taking it, you know, on average, you could say we could build about 50 new state-of-the-art high schools a day. Remember, this is a day. A day. It's a day. We haven't even rebuilt the bridge that fell over in Baltimore. Hasn't happened. We certainly are not mounting a giant scientific crusade to eradicate ticks, even though they are clearly a plague at this point. That might cost $1 billion. I bet you could eradicate ticks as a species if you dedicated $1 billion to it. We're spending $5 billion every single day. What are we getting for it? What are we receiving? We don't even have basic safety. We don't even have a basic functioning economy where people working full time can afford a place to live and food to eat. But we're spending $5 billion every single day in this country. I guess that's how it's got. I don't even know, because that's national debt. I assume it's just all debt now, right? I assume that's not we're spending $10 billion, but only $5 billion is debt. I assume all the money is debt, right? I mean, it could be worse than I'm even saying. More than $1 trillion has been added since October 23rd, 2025, about $5 billion per day. The debt surpassed $39 trillion mid-March and actually fell below it for several weeks before cresting to this point again. Concern about the level of national debt is growing, particularly in relation to GDP, known as the debt-to-GDP ratio. This represents a nation's borrowing versus the growth of its economy, and therefore the risk levels attached to servicing and repaying the debt. The U.S. debt-to-GDP ratio sits at approximately 123%, meaning its borrowing is bigger than the size of its entire economy. You know, this makes me think of something else, and I'm not sure if the crew can find this story. I was not able to confirm it, which is why I wasn't able to actually find a story, but I didn't look very hard. But I'd heard somebody talking about the fact that apparently the EU sent a financial letter to Italy and a couple other countries, and basically they said if your debt to GDP ratio is more than 115%, then all of your national budgets have to be approved first and foremost by an EU committee. Before it's even presented to the legislatures of your country, it has to be approved by some like German economists, you know, to make it happen. Now, I don't know. Again, I wasn't able to confirm that, and I just was not able to find the details on it. But supposedly, Giorgio Meloni got really mad and, you know, recognized that this was an obvious attack on the sovereignty of Italy to set their own budgets and spend their own money. Now they have to get permission from Germany, apparently, to do that. Germany, who has systematically destroyed its own infrastructure and is watching as their industrial base is hollowed out in real time while they bring in millions and millions of foreigners to ostensibly, you know, prevent government debt and fill in the government coffers, but they all go on welfare, so it's only getting worse. I don't know if I would trust them with my financial well-being, to be honest with you. Now, again, I don't have any confirmation on that, but if they're doing it in Europe, do you think they'll start doing that here? Do you think that's a move they may start implementing worldwide, where you have the people, the globalists who are responsible for all of this in charge, driving up the budget, driving up the debt, making the debt to where it is over 120% of GDP, and then going, oh, geez, you Americans are so irresponsible. I guess an international unelected corporate body has to actually dictate, you know, what you're allowed to spend money on. I wonder if that's not part of the plan. But again, just ask you, what do we get for $5 billion? We get a bunch of Somalis. We get a bunch of Somalis taking care of other Somalis. That's what we're paying for. We get basically just an endlessly growing class of government dependents with no future, no desire to build, no nothing. We just increase the number of parasites that we struggle under. Great. No, that's great. European Commissioner Ursula von der Leyen demanding, yeah, the 15% mentioned. Italy's debt to GDP ratio is currently over 135%. The figure 15 does not apply to their debt ratio, but it relates to the $15 billion in loans Italy could apply for. The letter's core argument, Meloni stated it's unjust for the EU to allow financial flexibility and exemptions for defense spending while refusing to exempt extraordinary energy-related measures, especially amid renewed geopolitical tensions. So I'm not sure what the EU rebuffs call from Italy for more lenient budget rules. Yeah, so if you can print out that story, I may have some of the details wrong. But I think generally that's basically it's these international bodies, World Economic Forum, the World Bank, the IMF, who are going to come in and go, oh, gee, you're really irresponsibly spending. We're going to have to dictate to you what you're allowed to spend money on. And guess what? Welfare is not going to get cut. Nothing negative is ever going to get cut, because these people are the ones orchestrating, designing, carrying out our full-fledged destruction. Welfare now makes up 66% of all government spending. 47% of that spending goes to boomers. It goes to boomers, the social welfare. So total government spending breakdown for the financial year 2025, totaling $11 trillion. And you see social welfare taking up 47%, federal plus state and local. Education takes another 15%. Net interest is 9%. So 9% of our tax dollars are just going to the banks for the, you know, for the privilege of allowing them to usurp the Congress's sovereign right of printing our money. So, of course, every dollar that's printed comes along with debt that we, the American people, somehow owe to the bankers. National defense makes another 8%. And then the rest fills out the rest, like 20%, but 66% going to social welfare and 47% going to mostly the, you know, paying for the boomers to continue to live. So when you talk about the fraud, the relentless, unending, and astronomical fraud, who knows how much we would be spending otherwise? We're literally talking about billions and billions of dollars. But at the end of the day, we can't even be guaranteed safety in our own homes, a school where the teachers and children all speak English. In Austin, you might call 911 and get put on hold. The police just won't come if there's not an imminent threat. They'll show up, you know, a couple hours later to take a report, and that is the extent of their ability or willingness to do anything at all. In fact, I've got a lot of stories today about Austin in particular, but it's the same in every city all over the country. We don't even have basic law and order. what are we spending $5 billion a day on? We still haven't sufficiently closed the border to a degree that, you know, we're not welcoming in the hordes of people like we were under Biden, but there's still illegal crossings going on. We haven't solved that problem. We certainly haven't deported a tenth of the number of people we should have by this point. But we're spending $5 billion every single day. So somebody's getting it. It just ain't us. It's our money. It's our energy. It's our future and our children's future that's being sold. It just never goes to benefit us whatsoever at all, even a little bit. Which you have to wonder, like, even for the people in charge, how is this even something they would want to do? If it's not because they want to destroy America, like if it's not on purpose, then it doesn't make any sense. Because even if you were corrupt, even if you were like a scumbag, you have to understand that robbing prosperous people to give it to lazy, dependent people can't go on forever. Like, you're setting up yourself for failure. I genuinely don't even understand people that run our country and benefit from our prosperity. You don't want to help out the prosperous people? Like, in the only thing that makes any of this make any sense is they're just deliberately draining our resources, deliberately disadvantaging and making it harder for the middle class, the hard workers, the people who are just, you know, putting in the 8-hour day, while making it as easy as humanly possible for the indigent or the criminal to live like kings. It's impossible for this to be an accident, I guess is what I'm saying. It's actually impossible. So, folks, all I can say is we could use some of that money. We could use some of that $5 billion. But please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and get yourself one of the incredible new RFID Freedom Shield wallets. They're 30% off right now. All this talk about money, you're going to want to keep yours safe as they systematically destroy the value of it. We need to talk about this too, because no matter how much you talk about conspiracy theories, and this is one of those things, like when you're a conspiracy theorist for a long time, you always end up as Ron Paul. You always just end up as straight up Ron Paul going, it's the Federal Reserve. It's the head of the snake. The banks are the problem. The Federal Reserve is the bank of banks. Can we cut off the head of the snake already? Can we solve our problem at the root cause, which is the Federal Reserve, which is our entire monetary system, which is the Bretton Woods Agreement, and the dollar is the reserve currency? I mean, that really is the end point of all these conspiracies.
These new data centers will oversee everyone in the galaxy. I will be in full control.
Power levels are stable. Proceed with the install. Copy that. Installing the module now. Connection confirmed. All green.
Cable secured. Power to the cluster. Initiating boot sequence. Component locked. Running diagnostics. Archive systems online. Report to command.
Construction team, report status. Power grid stable. TK-421. Cabling complete. No faults. Proceed to phase two for the Empire.
Things are going according to plan. The Emperor will be happy. The Empire demands perfection.
Status report. Any anomalies?
Diagnostics are clear, sir.
Proceed with the calibration. Watch for fluctuations.
I find your desire for privacy insignificant. The Empire's new data network will observe every corner of the galaxy, every signal, every act of disloyalty.
A disturbance in the Force there is. Feel it, you can.
Those who obey have nothing to fear. Those who resist will be terminated.
transmission.